is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Something must be wrong with the radio, man.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
Bring up the button.
Do not attempt to change the station.
If we wish to make
we are controlling the transmission.
To a whisper.
We control the volume.
We will control.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
We will control.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can roll the.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly
understand
what
we're saying.
Or we can make a mix.
We can change the focus of a soft heart.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Food!
Or hilarious.
Food! Food!
We can make it stupid.
Here comes the food.
Or moronic. Or moronic. Or moronic.
Food fight!
It's our show. We can do anything we want.
Food's glorious food!
Because this is...
The National Cervical Network.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to...
The National Cynical Network.
Disappointment content. Parental discretion is advised.
Memories of which they really weren't that great those years. But one thing that did happen during the 60s was some music of an unusual or experimental nature did get recorded and did get released. Now look at who the executives were in those companies at those times. Not hip young guys. These were cigar chomping old guys who looked at the product that came and said, I don't know. Who knows what it is? Record it, stick it out of it, sells, all right. We were better off with those guys than we are now with the supposedly hip young executives, you know, who are making the decisions of what people should see and hear in the marketplace. The young guys are more conservative and more dangerous to the art form than the old guys with the cigars ever were.
Think success was on your terms then, and it just wasn't hype.
It was kind of cool because I feel that it was on our terms, and I think maybe because it was a good record, and maybe because the band had something to say, it beat down the obstacles of having someone say, you're good, I'll play you. And I think with MTV, there's a danger now where if the god of MTV, whoever that is, points their finger at you and says, you're the next big thing, you are the next big thing, and they dictate to people what taste is, and they dictate what fashion is, and for the most part, people foolishly listen to them and believe it and buy it, and then they are the big thing. But when MTV then says, okay, we're done with you, you have to have something to stand on other than hype. And then that same thing, I think, happens like with the British press. They'll pick a band, they'll hype the shit out of them for 6 months, and then they discard them, and if that band isn't really that great, they can't go anywhere from them.
Gotta get back to the butter.
are an individual, but you are also a member of a global community. Most important of all, you are a consumer. As a member of this community, it is your duty to consume. Why? Because the system would collapse if you stopped spending, and the consequences would be awful. The system that runs your country relies on you being a good consumer. The good consumer is always buying new products. When he is not buying, he is working hard, earning money so that he can fund future consumption. Remember, the golden rule of consumption is to concentrate on buying the things that you want as opposed to the things that you really need. The good consumer follows fashion. Fashion is always changing, and the consumer must change with it. Fashion is important because it tells us when to replace outdated products with new ones. Most commonly, these changes occur at the turn of every season. You'll know when you are falling behind on fashion because you will begin to look out of place. You will begin to feel as if you no longer fit in. The consequences of this can be devastating, not just for the economy, but for your own well-being. The good consumer avoids falling out of fashion at all costs. Remember, follow fashion. The good consumer does not wait to replace her possessions when they wear out. She upgrades at the first opportunity she is given. Never attempt to repair things when they break. Buy new versions instead. The good consumer never shares his possessions with others. It is better that we all buy the same things for ourselves. Consumption is good for the environment. The more you consume, the more you can recycle. The good consumer works hard to earn the money that he spends, but we cannot all earn enough to keep up. Borrow money if you begin to fall behind. Treat yourself to things that you deserve. Treat your children. Teach them to cherish their brands. Remember, they are the consumers of tomorrow. Remember, you are worth the money. We are all under pressure to become the best consumers that we can possibly be, and it is normal for this pressure to cause anxiety. This is because you are not consuming enough. Do not allow your negative attitude to infect others. The strength of the system relies on the confidence of consumers. And the first sign of depression, the good consumer visits the high street for retail therapy. Remember, consume for happiness. Your role in society is to consume. Without consumerism, our beautiful way of life will surely collapse. Consume. Consume something now. Consume. Consume something now. Consume. Consume something now.
A tendency within most societies to try and force everybody into a particular regimen and to stop people walking on the grass.
Thank you.
There's something about, I suppose, about that particular lyric. There's something about the idea of producing grass and then not letting anybody enjoy it, you know. You know, let's make a beautiful lawn and then not let anybody walk on it or play on it or kick a ball about on it or do anything. And in a way, it's the idea of actually the desire to walk on the grass being mad. There's something wrong about that. The lunatic is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade. You make the change.
There are different styles of music, you know, but there's no reason to assume they can't be blended together.
Right, and someone who's made his home in New Orleans and it seemed to fit is Trent Reznor. Trent and Nine Inch Nails not only make their home here, but they also make their work here behind these doors where The Fragile was painstakingly put together for a couple of years. Live CD, live DVD, and of course the next album in the works. Funeral home turned into a music studio. It's Trent Reznor in New Orleans.
I need my dream. Which one of these launches the shuttle?
Lots of buttons here. Actually, I've never been in this room. It's all prop. We just set this up so these guys think I'm smart. This is where it all happens. Nothing Studios here in New Orleans. Just accumulated a lot of interesting studio-type trickery that we found that some work better for some things, some for other things. You know, it's always funny when I'm working with Alan Mulder and we're playing guitar or something. I'll be sitting in this zone. All the guitar stuff's kind of around here. And I'll be playing a part, and it's a good part, and I'm trying to talk and play at the same time, and he's on his knees plugging pedals together, and just this kind of mad scientist feel. So, I mean, this room really just reflects the way we like to work.
Obviously, it's musically very accomplished and very sort of easy to listen to, but I think in terms of its politics and philosophy, it kind of gives people, when they're young, permission to think for themselves in a way, and also that it's okay to have bad feelings about things and to experience pain and this and that, and that you know, that we don't have to live in an anodyne world where nothing hurts.
Is there a downside, like just personally for your soul and for your craft? Because you just get so swamped in one, you know, you're in this amazing building, but...
I think that's a good point that you bring up. Take The Fragile, for example. I was kind of at a position, a point in my life, you know, and that record was all done right in this room, literally, for over 2 years. And in some ways, it's an interesting kind of journey. It's like I'm able to stop other parts of my life to really just see what happens if you go as far as you can go down a certain path. And that path might lead to somewhere else, and yes, nothing's holding me back from trying that. The price you pay kind of is you become very unbalanced as a human being. And you also start to realize kind of in retrospect that maybe the reason you're doing that is because you're running away from the life you don't know how to live. There's all these things I thought, well, I'll get to that someday, like, you know, a family or real friends or, you know, learning other things, how to do things in life.
Or dealing with this thing that you haven't dealt with.
Yeah, that I've been running away by hiding in a studio, so... We get off the tour bus 2.5 years later, and in my head, I'm thinking I'm going to return to being the real me, but the real me isn't the real me anymore, and maybe never was me, and who am I now? Am I the guy that's on stage that I read about? And my whole personality had been distorted, and all kinds of external things had come into my world, and people around me that weren't the right, you know, just weird, you know, behind the music scenarios that you see happening to your own life. And there's a reason that everybody's career does the same thing, you know, that you're human.
This all feels a bit wacky, you know, from time to time, and it certainly does to me. I have trouble making sense of all this.
Got a little black book with my poems in. Got a bag, a toothbrush and a comb in. When I'm a good dog, they
I am a sensitive artist. Nobody understands me because I am so deep. In my work, I make allusions to books that nobody else has read, music that nobody else has heard, and art that nobody else has seen. I can't help it because I am so much more intelligent and well-rounded than everyone who surrounds me. I stopped watching TV when I was 6 months old because it was so boring and stupid, and started reading books and going to recitals and art galleries. I don't go to recitals anymore because my hearing is too sensitive, and I don't go to art galleries anymore because there are people there and I can't deal with people because they don't understand me. I stay home reading books that are beneath me and working on my work.
We were just like, you know, like totally.
So sad. So fresh. The show.
That was one of the saddest things I've ever heard. Wow. I didn't even hear it, but it's still one of the... This whole show is one of the saddest things I've ever heard.
This is the happiest moment of your life, Jader Harmony.
And now, this show is for you. I pronounce Brother you and the show married.
Deeply
you may kiss.
We are scattered here.
Turn to page 237 in your hymnal.
And before all, to sanctify this gremlin with a urinal toward destruction.
You're in a lot of trouble now.
You're in over your head.
Over the cliff
cetera,
of compromise and fall upon the jagged rocks
you're in
of reality.
Over your head. And Aunt Bertha will now give Jenner
rope.
Away.
Come forward, Jenner.
I don't want to be given away.
It's time for you to
She's
going to
carry you.
Me.
You got to do it. She'll carry you.
Yes, we shall plight our vows, and the purity of Aunt Bertha shall overcome the evil and sin of poor Jenner.
Timmy, let's blow this hot dog stand. Go get
no,
some
I
crap.
No, I wouldn't miss this for anything. Aunt Bertha's gonna marry that guy. And then, you know what we're gonna put in their bed?
But how could I marry a fictitious character?
Stop talking and give me the ring. With this ring, I me wed. It won't go on my finger. I'll have to give it another push.
Well, how can I have
Stop
sex
sniggering.
With a fantasy woman? Or, of course, I do
she
it every
looks
night.
Stupid.
So
just do what comes naturally. And now they're going to throw rice at us in 60-pound bags.
Put these pebbles in with
no,
the rice, Jenna. Put these little rocks in with them.
Oh, look, I'm throwing their...
Hi, for the field
out,
artillery.
Baby. The full tilt.
Uh-oh, okay.
Crazy out.
Boys and girls, there is a conspiracy in this land of ours to ram Janer
May your
down
show
the
be twice as demented as it was previously.
Billy and Kimmy stole an atomic submarine when they should have been in church learning about Jesus.
I sure hope Aunt Bertha doesn't find us in this here submarine.
Oh, she doesn't have the radar capability.
Okay. I ain't scared.
Don't be scared. How can we get up into the sail? You know, the conning tower. Isn't there supposed to be some kind
just
of ladder?
Keep talking.
Oh, there's
I think
girls
there was
on
one
this
over
submarine.
Here.
Just keep talking.
Look, a girl over there.
What? I don't know what to talk about.
There are girls
keep
on the
submarine. Keep talking.
I don't think Aunt Bertha would want us to be here with girls.
Keep
talking.
Billy signing
okay.
off. We're going to fraternize on the sub, and don't ask, don't tell, and don't pursue. I wonder what happened to those boys. Oh, well, I guess I'll lie down after I have a glass of lemonade.
I wonder what happened to the two
Good
boys.
Good thing Aunt Bertha doesn't know we're making...
I
want an explanation from you right now, young lady.
Oh,
what are you doing here?
House, but then they noticed
we
that
were
the
just making time with the honeys.
Bunch of writing on
For
it. Said,
shame.
Well, you know, I guess
Does it not
kidnapped,
say in the
and they were on mushrooms, and we tried
Roll
to give them directions to the nearest BART station, you know,
with
but,
the harlots.
You know, they just took off down the street, and we never, you know, I never knew what
I
happened.
Tried
they were
to cavort
Chico,
with the harlots
and I,
for
and
many hours.
I tried to calm them down, but it didn't work.
Something smells like Chinese food in here.
It smells like all kind of fish heads and soy sauce and so gross.
Mushrooms?
No.
From the Grateful Dead.
Fish entrails and just no
god. Billy, we've got a proximity light. The sub's going to crash into an undersea mountain.
And I do not
know. And someone took away the ladder. That would teach those little actions.
Boys and girls, the same thing would happen to you if you didn't accept Jesus into your heart.
I forgot to release the boy.
I wanna live with a
cynical girl. I could be happy the rest of my life with the cynical girl. She sneers at the newscasts that run in the night and jeers at the people who live in the limelight, my cynical girl. Voting to her is a big waste of time. The joiners and savers are out of their minds for my cynical girl. Corrupt politicians in it for themselves. The businessmen don't care about nobody else but my cynical girl. Wow, is she jaded now? Time has made her somehow. I guess she'll move to France if she ever gets the chance. Yeah, yeah.
The National Cynical Network, the sound of the 21st century.
NationalCynical.com.
When you're a sweet, they may show. Then you'll lose all the ground. Freudian slumber, empty of sound. Just as it tries to be seen, fields of incentive covered with green. Mesmerized children are playing, meant to be seen but not heard. Stop me from dreaming, don't be absurd.
And we can experiment others too.
sends to all kind of sons. You have no trouble until you have no trouble. You catch your breath and the nurse will present you the bill.
And...
We all make mistakes. We're all human, you know. You can't expect to be perfect or behave perfectly or whatever. But if through your efforts, if you like, your own internal efforts, you can give the empathetic side of your nature a better chance in its battle against the devil within you, well, then so be it. And that is a struggle that we can all engage in every day of our lives.
With authority about me personally, that, you know, I turned to drinking and eventually drugs as a way to not feel bad, you know, not feel bad about myself. I never went into it with an intention of becoming reliant upon it or ruining my life in the process. I mean, I'm sure most people that do that start with the same agenda. And I bought into the idea for quite some time that, you know, I was the tortured artist that needed to be a little bit drunk or a little bit high to come up with good ideas, and that romantic idea that that's part of the creative process. And that also haunted me after my life spun out of control, and the way that it affected me negatively on top of everything else was I couldn't write. I couldn't think straight, and whatever talent I had musically, my ability to finish a thought, you know, really take it and dig deep into myself was gone. It was like my head was filled with cotton. And when you're in an already confused state and you add to it the thought that you may have destroyed your brain and be unable to do the one thing that saved you, you know, to me, the only answer to that problem was to get more high, to ease the pain. And you get caught in that loop, which leads to, you know, one of two things. You either die or you stop doing it.
Did the news ever get you down? I mean, that's not a...
No, I like to watch the news because I don't like people very much. And when you watch the news, you know, if you ever had an idea that people were really terrible, you can watch the news and know that you're right.
Last year, when I got off tour last August, I had a collection of music that I thought was good. And I'd been toying around with a lyrical concept idea that felt like the right thing to do, but I wasn't sure I could commit Nine Inch Nails to doing it, and I wasn't sure it was the right thing, and it felt a bit daunting because it might be a terrible mistake. And it really was, if I thought about what was at the forefront of my concern, which is normally what I do when I start to write a record, I really try to figure out what can I speak about with the most authority and what's really something that needs to be addressed. In the past, that really had meant just opening up my journal, and there was a bunch of things that usually was an internal battle of me versus me or me versus the outside world or whatever it might be. And I found that at the age I'm at now, and at the state of whatever stage I'm at in the maturity slider, what really was of grave concern to me was the state of affairs of the world, and as an American citizen, a real concern and frustration and anger I have about the direction that our country's headed, and with the arrogance in which it's headed that way towards the rest of the world and towards its own citizens and the ecology of the planet. And I wanted to write a record about that in a way that wasn't nauseating.
Her legs are mother nature reserved. I sit down and it's time to start a record, the main challenge I present to myself is to be completely honest with where my brain is at the time I'm doing it and how I feel honestly about things. And the thing I found that was tricky was when I did Pretty Hate Machine, there were no expectations other than my own. So I didn't judge anything about what I thought others might think. And when I did Downward Spiral, I had a small degree of success. So I was wondering, the people that got me here, what do you think they'll think of what I'm doing right now? And I realized then that's a trap that artistically I don't want to fall into. I don't want to. I've taken pride in feeling that I sleep well at night knowing that I've done what I think is very true to how I feel, and it's the most honest way I can express myself at the time. But it does get trickier when you have no expectations and you have people that got you to where you are. And when you hear, like I did before I even started this record, when I was in a very delicate state, when I wasn't ready to start it, and I'm hearing that it's the most anticipated record of a year before I knew I wouldn't be done because I haven't started it yet. And I hear, please come save rock. It's like, I didn't ask to do that. And I don't really like rock, and I don't know. I've lived a life of recluse the last 2 years, and this record took 2 years to make. And it was 2 years of sleeping 4 hours a night and working 18-hour days every day to really mine what was in my subconscious and go with what I really felt was my best instinct of what was right and what mattered to me. And I based that on I'm a fan of music. I love music, and I was the guy that was buying vinyl, reading what was written on the inside, and smelling the way that, you know, the whole thing, that all mattered to me. So I've always tried to apply that to what I do. And when we finished this record, I really wondered if the fans that got me to be able to make this record, what they'd think of it, you know. I did question that, but I allowed the real questioning to happen after it was done, and hope that it was trusting my own instinct that got me this far. And I thought that that's what I have to put all my faith in. And now the record's done and it's out, and I've had positive feedback. But even if I didn't, I personally believe this is like the best thing I have ever done, and I'm surprised I finished it. future, I'll find myself, I will isolate if I'm left to my own devices. So I'm more aware of what I do, and I try to make myself do some things that avoid that occasionally.
Membrane of your mind.
You're listening to the National Cynical Network.
Do you consider yourself avant-garde now?
Do I consider my... Yes, I'm very avant-garde right now. I am about as avant-garde as I have ever been, right at this very moment.
When I had a bunch of people convey that, you know, you really don't open up, dude. And I'm thinking, yes, I do. And then I realized, no, I really don't.
Is this some kind of intervention?
It's been a lonely guy intervention that's come up in. Nine Inch Nails, I think, will naturally mutate and has mutated as I've matured and changed and see what happens. If it comes to the point where I really am a radically different human being, then maybe it's time to not be Nine Inch Nails anymore.
but myself keeps slipping.
Now, Frank, for those of us who have seen you as some sort of a guru over the years of music, that is a kind of a nihilistic assessment of music. Where is the hope?
Well, there isn't any.
Yeah, that's... I think that's certainly a definition of nihilism.
No, that's not nihilism. That's rationalism. You have to understand that when God created Republicans, he gave up on everything else.
Some stones saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of
it's unlikely that I would have started writing poetry if I hadn't been in a rock and roll band, to put it that way. So I think I was encouraged to start writing by the fact that Sid went crazy and somebody had to start writing songs. You know? So we all tried to write songs, as well, all of it, apart from Nick, obviously. So the answer to your question is that the music encouraged the expression of the idea, because I had always been told as a young man at school, you know, that it was useless and that I should never attempt to express myself in any way.
You have been listening to episode 64 of Needle in the Red by the National Cynical Network, titled Idolic. Source material includes songs by and remixes of Nine Inch Nails, as well as Metal by Gary Numan, Entangled by Genesis, Nobody Home by Pink Floyd, and interview clips of Frank Zappa, Trent Reznor, and Roger Waters. Clips from The Good Consumer, Dub Side of the Moon by the Easy Star All-Stars, I Want to Be Free, MIDI version by The Monkees, Sensitive Artist by King Missile, The KPFA Puzzling Evidence Show were also included. Phineas Narco sang Cynical Girl and covered Overreacting by Brad Sucks from bradsucks.net. The Gay Paranoia Mashup was by Dinbot, and Johnny Cash sang Wanderer by U2. Thank you for listening.
This is NCN.
NationalCynical.com.